Welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast. Good morning. It's kind of late in the morning today. I had to go take a drug test because I'm a druggie. No, I'm not really a druggie, but apparently this job that I'm trying to get requires that I prove that I am not, in fact, on any kind of illegal substances. Ta-da! Which I guess is like crack, cocaine, I don't know, heroin. Since marijuana doesn't matter anymore, I mean, I don't know what they're testing for, but I guess they can't tell if I look like a crackhead or not, so they got to go test me. Yeehaw, way to go. That was a waste of 2 hours of my life that I'll never get back. Ah, so annoying. Anyway, I just finished a TikTok because I'm just blowing up all over TikTok these days. Not really, but you know, I got some of my posts get over 100 views, so that's huge for me. I mean, I used to get like nothing, so. Growing until that platform's gone, because it looks like they're getting rid of all these platforms. But in any event, I'm going to go with a different word of the day today. Conundrum is always the word of the day that I use within the podcast. But the word of the day today is soft top. And the definition of soft top is, a soft top is an individual who is dominant within sexual preferences, but soft and gentle when it comes to the nurturing of another person or significant other. Garrett, you're such a soft top. I don't know. That one wasn't nearly as good as Turdberg, but they all can't be winners, man. Anyway, go out there and be a soft top. Be dominant, but be sweet at the same time. Take what you want. Be dominant sexually, but, you know, be soft and sweet when it comes to the nurturing of your significant other or any other person. So I'll take that. I'll be a soft top. What the heck? So anyway, let me get into this. So I had to go do a drug test. My appointment was at 8:15. You know, I'm going to have to bitch about this for a minute because I cannot stand, I guess, any office, but any place that takes appointments and then is nowhere near their friggin' appointment time. I don't know if you feel this same kind of pain, but, you know, my time is valuable to me, and I'm not saying I'm special and I shouldn't have to wait, but I have an appointment. Why do you schedule an appointment at 8:15, tell the person to arrive 15 minutes early, and when that person does it, they don't get seen until 9:15. I don't understand that. The place opened at 8 o'clock. How were they behind by an hour from the minute they opened? I cannot stand that kind of incompetence and just unprofessionalism. I mean, I have a choice. If I want this job, I got to get a drug test. It is what it is. But the fact that it took 2 hours, I mean, I'm counting drive time as well. The fact that it took me 2 hours to do this is ridiculous. Absolutely unacceptable. So any doctors, if you're an office out there, and I know doctors that work in an office or own an office probably don't spend too much time looking at this component of their office, but fire your fucking office manager if they don't know how to schedule appointments. And if all you're trying to do is cram more patients in throughout the day so that you can collect more insurance claims, fuck you. Because that's bullshit. My time is valuable too. I shouldn't need to spend an hour waiting for an appointment that I made in advance. My appointment was at 8:15. If you go somewhere and have an appointment at 8:15 and it doesn't start at 8:15, what the hell? I mean, you go to a movie and it says the movie's going to start at 9:45. It doesn't start at 10:15. It starts at 9:45. What the hell? This wasn't even like a real doctor's office. This was pee in a cup. I mean, it took me all of 3 minutes to do this, and I had to wait an hour. Ah, infuriating. I mean, I know it's petty stuff and, you know, don't sweat the small stuff and all that kind of crap, but it's just so stupid. I mean, you know, as I talk more and more about using your time wisely and spending the time doing the things that you want to be doing, you know, I just look at examples of what I'm spending my time doing throughout the day, and it's just infuriating. I mean, I spend so much time doing dumb shit that is meaningless, that doesn't, it's just a waste of time. And more importantly, a waste of life. And that's really what time equates to in the human experience, is that, you know, your time is your life. So if you're spending all of your time doing dumb shit and wasting it, then you're wasting your life. And I'm really hyper-focused on that these days because I think the majority of the crap that I unfortunately have to do is a waste of my life. Because I'm not, you know, like when I'm doing something like this, I feel this is a good use of my time, a good use of my life, because I'm sharing a fun story. But then you'd have to argue that if I didn't have these shitty experiences, then I wouldn't have these stories to share. So I guess we kind of need that balance, that yin and yang of shitty experiences that you have to go through and the experiences that you want to go through. I'm being selfish. I don't want to go through things I don't want to go through, but that isn't how it works unless you're like ultra rich, I'm guessing. And I am not that. I am not wealthy. I'm just a regular schmo. I could be broke soon too. I mean, who knows? I'm not sure what's going to happen with all these changes that are going on in my personal life and my professional career. Who knows? But again, at this point, I don't care. I'm so sick and tired of worrying about things that fundamentally are out of my control. If someone decides they don't like me anymore, or they decide I'm not doing a good job and don't choose to tell me that or give me an opportunity to improve on that or do anything, have any kind of notice, and then they just make a decision, well, I have little to zero control over something like that. The only thing I can try to control is my emotions and my feelings that elicits for me. But even I'm not very good at that either, because for the most part, that whole scenario overtakes my whole being, and it becomes very annoying and irritating and intrusive in my life and my daily existence, because I get focused on, why am I bothering with these people? They don't care about me. Why do you think I'm going to... I mean, I don't know that I've ever been this disengaged as an employee in my entire life. I mean, I legitimately don't give a shit at all right now. If I were to get fired tomorrow, I just don't care. So I really am doing as little or as very little as or nothing right now, because why would I care? I wonder if employers really understand the power of disengagement. You know, and I've talked about this before, but it just blows my mind how people just blow this off and don't think that it's important. But you take a high performing person and turn them into a disengaged employee, and you just completely lose them altogether. And I don't know how you do. I mean, how are you so delusional and just so out of your skull that you don't realize that that's going on? I guess, you know, you got to take the time to get to know people individually as well. And you have to follow up and do the work is really what it comes down to. And these people that I work for now, they don't want to do the work. They just don't give a shit. I brought up some things in a meeting yesterday, and, you know, I don't, you know, it's like almost impossible for me not to do those things. Like when there's something wrong, it's so hard for me to just be quiet. And I try, but I often fail. So I brought something up, and do you think I'd hear anything more about it? Nope. I can't wait to tell them when I give my notice. And they, you know, I mean, good luck. I sincerely mean that. Good luck trying to figure all this crap out. I don't care, as I've said before, who the hell you bring in here. Good luck, because it's a freaking shit show. It is a mess. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows how to do anything. Nobody knows how things are configured. It's a big mess. And I can't fix it. And I'm sure as hell not going to fix it in the next couple weeks or whatever this is going to be. And there's no one on deck, so to speak, or on the bench to come and be able to take a handoff or transition knowledge to. So it's just going to be like up in the air. I mean, they're going to have to lie the greatest lies they've ever sown. Right before at this point, and just I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I don't know what they're going to tell this client. But I've been working with their staff now at this client, like through Teams directly. So it's like, you know, it's almost, this is what I was trying to implement before, is this kind of interaction where it's all the time, it's constant, it's daily. That's how you really service a customer, is you're available to them at their whim. You know, I mean, notice how I said that. Cool whip. Brian, cool whip. Sorry. But I've been trying to push the point that, you know, if we're going to use Teams or we're going to use chat and we're going to be remote, I mean, and this is, again, goes to my argument of who gives a crap where you sit, because I'm never going to sit at this client's office, but yet the people that I support sit there. And do you think they're not getting great support from me when they reach out in Teams and go, hey, Garrett, can you do this for me? You got a sec? Absolutely. And I just respond back within a minute or 5 minutes or something, you know, a short interval, and I do whatever they need me to do, as if I worked for them. I mean, it's not like this is rocket science. This is just, idiot-proof. This is what you're supposed to do. If you want to show value to your client, you don't make them jump through all these stupid hoops to get stuff done. You just give them direct access to the people that can help solve their problems. So ultimately, I can get us as a company out of the way. Right? So you want to have checks and balances. And every DevOps team I ever worked on, this is how it worked. The developers would either, you know, depending on the system, sometimes they would open a ticket, but people were very conscious of tickets and Bugzilla and all kinds of stuff like that. So somebody could reach out to you, ping you and be like, hey, can you help me with this? Sure. Just open a ticket and I'll get on it right now. It'd be instantaneous, but it was just part of the process. So that could be done here too. It's not a big deal. Just open a ticket or I can open the ticket myself. It's not the end of the world. But I don't even give a shit about opening the ticket because I could care less. These are like five minute engagements. They just needed like some IAM rules or some change, or we were talking about some logs I was digging through the other day. I mean, nothing crazy, just stuff they needed because they don't have permissions or the know-how on how to do it. So we need to do it. But to try to explain that in a ticket is almost impossible. You need to have that back and forth. And this is what I'm talking about with leveraging your chat solutions, you know, and not thinking that, oh, because I'm not sitting next to you, that matters. It doesn't. It's just you clowns have no idea how to really use this technology, or you just don't want to. You still think that sitting next to somebody means something because you don't have an effective culture of rollout for chat solutions. And again, I'm biased on this because I've been doing this for a decade. You know, there's people I've never met in person, never spoke to on the phone, that all we've ever done is chatted online and been able to get huge amounts of work done and very complex things done. And it's never been a problem. So to me, it's normal. I guess to some people, it's very awkward, but we're back to this same scenario of, well, now every week, somebody, you got to come in one day a week because we want you to be productive in the office. Yeah. How am I going to be productive in the office if my people are working in another company's office and I'm not going to that office? I would almost argue that it would make more sense for me to go on site with this company for the day rather than come on site to this stupid company's office, because it makes no sense. There's no one there that I'm collaborating with. Until they hire somebody, who am I going to sit and talk to? Who am I going to go to the water cooler and have these insightful and innovative conversations with? Fucking nobody, because there's nobody else there. I could go to the water cooler and fill my water up and talk to myself. But I mean, you know, basically it's just going to be shooting the shit with people, not about work stuff, but just about stuff, because nobody else in this place does what I do. Sorry about that. Bella just came bursting into the door, bounding after a cat. She loves to play with the kitties. I don't think the kitties love to play with her though. But that's what you get when you live in this house. You get Bella the dog running after you and putting your entire head in her mouth. So, you know, that's what happens when you're a cat. So fortunately, we have outdoor cats, so they're most of the time they're outside killing all kinds of stuff, which sucks. But, you know, what are you going to do? So there we go. Let's shift topics. Let's talk about something else. I'm so sick and tired of talking about work. I mean, I guess that's encompassing my life right now, and that's why it's top of mind. But, you know, I did enjoy my conversation yesterday about my parents. That was fun. I think that was nice to call out that we had a good time and, you know, let things go or let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Do I sound like the male version of Elsa? Elsa. Remember how big that song was? Oh my gosh. My niece and my nieces were so into that. I mean, my kids were a little bit older, so they're too old to really get into. I mean, we watched all the movies, but it wasn't like they had to have all the dolls and all the crap that comes with the movie. But one of my nieces was so into it. She had everything and she would always be singing that song. And wow, I had to learn it on the guitar. So when we went to hang out at Christmas time, I could play that and she could sing along. It was so much fun. Anyway. Oh, update. Forgot about this. I ended up hearing back from the publisher that reached out to me on ACX. So today I'm going to do an audition for a new book, which is really cool. Now, I hope that I get it because they reached out to me. Like I said, they sent me an email through the ACX platform and said, hey, you know, we've listened to a bunch of your auditions or your samples or what, you know, I put like 30 different samples of me speaking and reading stuff up on my profile so you can hear what I sound like. So, you know, that's what they tell you to do. Anyway, so they found me via that and they're like, oh, we really like what you sound like. And we think you'd be great for this book, but they had to go through and put the book up through the ACX platform. And I guess it took a little bit longer for them to figure that part out, which it doesn't surprise me because the Amazon stuff isn't super intuitive. Even their cloud stuff isn't very intuitive. Let's be honest. It's not really user-friendly. I would argue that Azure is way more user-friendly from a technology standpoint than AWS. But nevertheless, they got it up and the guy sent me an email and an invite to do a read. So I'm going to do that later today. I'm pretty excited about that. And I'll submit that to them. And hopefully I get another book read. That'd be cool. And I can bang that out in the next couple of weeks while I'm giving my notice at this place and doing jack shit, basically. Sorry. I can't stop bringing that stuff in. But for me, it's because it's so like, I know that's so stupid. And people are like, why are you so giddy over such a dumb thing like that? I do that every day. Like, yeah, well, it's hard for me because not giving a shit is just a weird thing for me. It's not something I'm comfortable with. So I feel like this enormous rebel because I'm going to not give a shit. And I haven't felt that way in a very, very long time. Even like when I left my last job for this job, it wasn't like that because I actually did stuff at the last job. So, I had a lot of stuff to hand off and projects to finish and things like that. So I didn't necessarily need the 30 days they required me to give, but I definitely needed 2 weeks to get all that stuff in order for somebody else to take over. But here it's just going to be like, what do you want me to do for the next 2 weeks? I'm just going to twiddle my thumbs. So I'm going to spend that 2 weeks doing as much content and as much stuff as I possibly can. Oh, and even another update. So our plan worked for our daughter. She went to a different testing location for her road test and passed. Ta-da! Dun, 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 dun. So that was like my wife and I were thrilled. And then at the same time, scared to death. And then at the same time, even more scared to death because I have no idea how much this is going to increase my insurance. But nevertheless, she can now drive. She's got her driver. Well, she doesn't have it yet, but she's a legal driver. So yay, I got to register on her insurance policy today. So that's really good. So congratulations to my 18-year-old daughter. Good for you. Three times a charm there. So that was pretty cool. I think it was the location though. She needed a couple practice runs because she gets very nervous about stuff like that. And then to go to a location that wasn't so completely discombobulated. Ooh, that's a good word. Word of the day, discombobulated. I wonder what that says in the Urban Dictionary. Let me go look that up really quick. So I'm going to choose not to read that. You can go read it for yourself. It has a word in there that's not really politically correct anymore. So I'm not going to do that because not that I'm afraid or anything like that. I don't think that it's appropriate. And I really enjoy doing this podcast. So I don't really want that to flag me as being some kind of hate speech spewer. And now nobody can listen to my podcast anymore because I said a word that's no longer socially acceptable to say. So if you want to know what that means in the Urban Dictionary, by all means, go look it up yourself. And I mean, it's kind of ridiculous that that word is not sayable anymore, but it's derogatory. So I'm not going to say it, even though you can say the F word and all these other terrible things and nobody seems to care. Some words are just, no go, man. They're no fly zone. Don't say them. Anyway, discombobulated. She gets kind of discombobulated and the roads out here in Lockport, it's an old town and they haven't made a lot of modern changes. So there's some really screwy roadways here. Like you'll go over train tracks to a five-way intersection, just really weird kind of, even I would be like, I think I mentioned this. I came up to this part of the road where they do the part of the road test and I didn't even know what the hell to do. there's no stop sign, there's no nothing, but you kind of go over the train tracks and kind of have to yield to traffic if you're going to make a left turn onto this diagonal street that's after the train. I mean, it's just this really screwy spot. So I can see why that would be difficult for a new driver. You're already nervous. You're kind of, on edge anyway. And now they're putting you on this stupid roadway that's just ass backwards. That's just the way it is out here. So anyway, she passed her road tests. She's an official New York State licensed driver. So that opens up some new opportunities for her so she can go do stuff and, hopefully not drive my car too much. I guess I'm a selfish prick like that. But I'll have to, you know, get her a car. So that's next on the, so adding her to the insurance, that's first. Adding a new driver to my plan. Ugh, I can't wait to see what that's going to cost. And then getting a new car, or, you know, not a new car, but getting another car. But that'll open up some opportunities for her. She's going to start working at the YMCA that's out here. And I know she wants to go to cosmetology school. So she'll be able to drive herself. And that was one of our challenges, was like, well, how are you going to get there if you don't have a license? You know, and if I'm going to take a job where I'm not home and I can't just run around, you know, I'm not going to be able to drive you all these places. So you're going to have to figure that part out. But seems we've accomplished and satisfied that requirement. So we can happily move forward on that. So I don't know. I'm going to try to find her something between, like, I don't know, maybe $7,000 to $10,000 for her first car. Hopefully something like that will be reasonable. Maybe like a Toyota Corolla or something like that would be fun for her to have. But we'll see what's out there. I'll go. We'll have to start looking around. Hopefully my wife will contribute to this and start looking around as well. And she's always good at sending me links, not, you know, but she did call the one place, the one when we were looking for my car. So maybe she'll take an active role in this, since she thinks she's better at buying cars than I am, which is fine. I mean, I would love for her to take this on and do it, and I'll just pay for it. That would be awesome. I mean, that's kind of my thing. It's like, right, you know, you want these things. Can you contribute and do a part of it? And then I will come in and finalize and sign and pay, and everything's good. So with that said, we're going to be looking for a new car for my daughter as a new driver. Very exciting. Yeehaw. And for all of you that are like, oh my God, you're spoiling your kid and blah, blah. Well, you know what? I was a spoiled brat too. My parents bought me my first couple cars, and, you know, so that's what I've been doing for my kids. Now, my son is on his third car now. And although I bought him his first car and his second, well, I think he bought his first car. It was only a couple $1,000. And then I bought him his second car. We traded in the other car. I bought him his second car. Now he traded that in, and he spent all his own money to get the Subaru that he wanted now. So he's kind of on his own with that and his car payment and stuff like that. But he's 21 now, so he can do that kind of stuff. That's cool. My daughter's not yet settled, doesn't really have, like I said, she's just going to get started with her job and stuff like that. So I'm here to help, man. That's what dads do, I think. My dad did it for me, so I'm going to keep doing it for my kids. What I've tried to do is take the good things that my parents did for me in my life and continue to do that for my kids, and then take some of the things that I question being the right thing and try to improve on those things. So I think that's all anyone really does, right? Is you take the good stuff that happened to you and you continue to do that, and then you take the bad shit and you're kind of like, eh, maybe I'm not going to do it that way. Let me try to do something a little bit different when it comes to that stuff. So that's kind of my approach when it comes to these things. But as I've said before, if your family can't help you out, I mean, I don't subscribe at all to that bullshit that now because I mean, look at all that I bitch about with regard to spending your time in your life. So I'm going to now relegate my kids to go, well, you got to go work some shit job that you hate just so you can pay for your car and your car insurance. That's kind of bullshit. I mean, I understand if you're trying to teach your kids responsibility, but to me, that's a waste of their life. This is like the greatest time in your life when you're, you know, like 18 to 30. Not that my time is bad now, but, you know, I'm old and shit starts to wear out and you get sick and, you know, I have heart surgery and all this other crap. I was like indestructible when I was younger, and you could do whatever you wanted. So that's like the peak time of your life that you should be able to not worry about all this crap. And just enjoy yourself and have fun and do the things that, you know, are fun to do and live each and every day, you know, that kind of thing to its fullest. So to me, having to go work 40 hours a week just so you can pay for car insurance and a car payment or a car loan, that's ridiculous. And on top of it, I mean, what kind of a fucking hypocrite am I? I make a lot of money. I can afford to do this. You know, at this point, I mean, if I don't have a job soon, then, you know, that might change things. But at the moment, I can afford to do all this. So what do I care? You think I'm concerned about squandering money on my kids? Absolutely not. I love them. They're more important than I am to myself. You know, I mean, whether they treat me well or not is irrelevant. I love my kids. I'm going to do the best that I can and do everything I can for them that's within my means. And this happens to be in my means right now. So I'm going to do it. You don't like that? I don't care. They're my kids, not yours. You can do whatever you want, and you're welcome to disagree with me, because I think I understand the validity of, you know, doing things differently, but this is just how I'm doing it. So enough on that topic, right? So I don't really know much about this, and I've never used OnlyFans. I've joked about it before, like, yeah, I'll set up an OnlyFans account, and I'll just sit there and, you know, like, smoke a pipe with my shirt off, and people can pay me for that. But I guess they're, I'm seeing posts everywhere, especially on TikTok. I guess they're changing their rules, and they're going to be banning pornography from OnlyFans, which apparently is the majority of what's on there. And I guess it stems from some problem that some other adult content website had, where some inappropriate type of, I would guess it's like bestiality or some, you know, like two girls, one cup kind of shit was on their site. And these religious groups went nuts. And, you know, I don't understand the whole religious, like, why, what is your problem with sexuality and nudity and that's a natural thing. I don't understand why Catholicism is so shunned on something like that, especially when all of the controversy that took place with all the priests that were molesting young boys. I mean, not only were they doing what you're not supposed to be doing anyway, but they were doing it with boys that were underaged. So they were molesting children. I mean, what the fuck? And you're going to stand up on your soapbox and criticize adults for doing what they're doing? I mean, that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. There's, if I want to watch somebody have sex, that's my purview. That has nothing to do with you, right? That's something that I can watch. And if I like it, I like it. If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. But why are you trying to tell me what I can and can't do? Who the hell are you? God, why do these people, you know, it's almost like and I probably shouldn't say this because I'm going to jinx myself, but it's like it's escaping me. It's like a cruel joke or a sick joke where, like, I'm this big, massive dude, and I'm sure this is why this never happens to me, but these fucking whack jobs never come up to me and get in my face. And I so wish they would, because I would obliterate these people. Yeah, I'd go to jail, but it would be worth it. I mean, I am not going to sit by and let people tell me what the fuck I can and cannot do. I don't care who you are. That's why I own guns. Because if somebody comes to my house with a gun and tries to take my kids or do something to my family, I'm going to fucking shoot you. Plain and simple. Don't do that stuff to me, because it's going to cost you possibly your life. I don't play like that. You know, this is ridiculous. I don't bother anybody. I don't get in people's business. I don't get in people's political debates. I don't do that kind of stuff. I watch these videos and these women, I mean, they're fucking out of their mind. I don't know how the people that they're doing this to can sit there and not absolutely unload. I mean, before that person got the third word out, I would have been blasting them in the face. I mean, yeah, now look, I definitely have anger management issues. I've said this before. I am not a stable individual when it comes to violence. I'm very aggressive. And it's only because that's my approach to self-defense. I'm not going to let you hit me to decide that, oh, okay, I guess we're fighting now. Absolutely not. I'm going to blast you first, because the advantage is to the leader, not to the follower. I'm not going to wait to get my nose pummeled into my face or my teeth knocked out before I go, oh, okay, now it's okay for me to hit you. Bullshit. You're going to go to jail no matter how this works out. That's just how it works. I've been in plenty of fights. Everybody gets arrested. And then until they figure out and sort out what the hell's going on. You all get put in handcuffs, and then they figure it out. And then if you're the guilty one, you go to jail. The other people are not going to jail. But I am absolutely not going to allow that kind of thing to happen to me. Holy crap, are you kidding me? I'm going to let you attack me, especially now. I'm old. You know, my wife pointed out, she's like, you know, you might want to be careful. You run your mouth a lot, and you're a lot older than you used to be. And she's absolutely right. You know, I'm not in any kind of physical shape like I used to be, where I was a boxer and a fighter and all that. You know, I'm not like that anymore. I think Mike Tyson said it the other day. He, you know, somebody was like, Mike, you know, you're the king. And, you know, he's doing this comeback. And he's like, no way, man. He's like, I'm a beginner. Because he's been out of it for like 15 years. His body's not what it used to be. He's not in that kind of condition. Yeah, mentally, he might still have the skills in his mind, but his body is not matched up to that same scenario that he was 15 years ago. That's very honest, you know? So that's why I always have weapons on me, because what am I going to do? Even if it's smaller people than me, what am I going to do if there's three or four of them? You know, I mean, I'm going to get my ass kicked is what's going to happen. So guess what? I have knives and weapons all over my vehicle because that's why. What happens? What am I supposed to do? Nothing? I mean, that's, you know, I'm off on a tangent here. But I mean, what I was getting at is that I'm really shocked to see that a religious group has this kind of power. But ultimately, I'm sure it comes down to somebody financially backing this. And there's some, like, I guess what they did was they went after Visa and MasterCard. So they weren't able to really shut down directly these organizations, but they've hurt them to the sense it's like, well, we're going to go after Visa and MasterCard and say, if you don't stop allowing them to transact business through your products, we're going to boycott you. And I guess they must have a lot of followers. There must be a lot of people that think that they're right. And man, I really hate when religion gets into things like this, because it's such a skewed, or it's such a singularly focused view. Like, that's great. You believe in that stuff. Good for you. Don't watch porn. Don't let your kids watch porn. That's your right. That's in your purview. Perfect. But fuck off. What are you bothering me for? I'm not bothering you. I'm sitting in the privacy of my home. Why do you care what I'm doing? Or why do you care what somebody else might be doing to perform in that manner in the privacy of their home? They're not offending you. You don't have to watch it. I mean, that's like trying to stop murder. Wouldn't you think that's worse than pornography? Why don't these people spend their time trying to fix that? I mean, I think killing somebody is a lot worse than watching somebody masturbate or have sex on a video. That's just my opinion, but you know, somebody losing their life is way worse, and that shit happens all the time. I don't see them out protesting that crap. Kind of crazy, right? I don't know. Like I said, I mean, if porn were to disappear, I really could care less. It's not the end of the world. Like, none of this. I have no stake in the game. I'm not doing that for a living. I'm not condoning anyone doing that or not doing that for a living. I don't give a shit one way or the other. That's up to you. That's what freedom is supposed to be about in this country, is it's your choice to do things as long as you're not breaking the law or infringing on the rights of others. You know, I don't know why that's a problem. And when it's something that you can just ignore and not participate in, I don't know how somebody doing this is infringing on these people's rights where they think they need to shut it all down. Now, I don't know that it's the right thing, you know, and this is semantics, of course, but I don't know that it's the right thing to have these opportunities available to people, because they're very intriguing, and they certainly, I would say, probably don't promote a lot of positivity, right? Like, I would bet you're really pulling out of the woodwork some real creepy people. You know, when you're online and you're able to talk, like I said, I've never used OnlyFans, but I'm assuming that there's real interactions. It's photo sharing. It's probably live video streams. You know, there's real interaction. It's just not in person. So it's, you know, like going to the strip joint kind of a thing. But I would say that the real scary part about this is that, you know, I mean, what's next? You know, if they get a foothold in something like this, what's to say that, you know, just foul language in general is now going to be banned? And every time you say fuck, you're going to get in trouble. You know, I mean, there's already words. I like literally just did it earlier. There's already words that if you say on certain platforms, get you demonetized or get you banned or blocked or put in temporary suspension or all this different stuff over a word. I mean, what about that is free speech? I mean, honest to goodness, people should be able to say whatever the hell they want to say. If you want to say horrible shit, that's up to you. And the consequences that come along with that are on you. So I think that's a fair trade-off. If you want to say some horribly racial shit, you should be able to say it. But guess what? If somebody knows it was you that said it and sees you walking down the street and five guys come up and start beating the shit out of you, well, there you go. That's this for that. You know, that's the yin and yang of it. That was, you had it coming. You know, I mean, it is what it is. So I know everybody hates that, but you know, that's, you know, what I'm trying to say is that when you say things like that, that are inflammatory, you know, you're going to get people that are going to disagree with you. And there are lots of people out there that are not afraid to be physical and violent and will take it out on you. I think it would be great if we could get away from that and use our words, but you know, what was I just saying a minute ago? If you're going to come to my house and threaten my family, you're going to, it's going to be an unpleasant scene for all of us, unfortunately, because I'm not going to let that happen. And I would bet there's a lot of people that are not willing to let those things happen. But whatever you do in the privacy of your home, that's on you, man. Do whatever you want. I don't care. You're not offending me. I don't care if you smoke crack and you live next door to me. That's your business. Now, I don't want to see people coming and shooting your house up. That's a problem for me because I live right next door to you and one of my family members might get hit with a bullet. And I think we see a lot of that kind of stuff. So I guess what I'm getting at is that I don't know that I agree or disagree with any of this. I just don't know how to go about it in a better way. Because I could see the side of, yes, pornography does breed to some degree, negative behaviors. And it brings out some of the sickest people that are out there. And they want to do weird and disgusting things. And I guess it's okay if you're okay to get paid to do that. But, you know, you're really promoting kind of a behavior that's not something that's optimal for society. Now, you could also argue that, well, if these people don't have an outlet to express themselves, then they're going to go out and rape people and do these, commit horrible crimes. And, you know, that's a possibility as well. So I guess, you know, it's more of, to me, I think there's a lot of discussions and debates that should take place before we just cancel everybody. And I think we've gotten away from that in this country. It feels like we don't really debate, we just cancel. Oh, you did this, you're done. And it's like, well, I didn't even get to tell my side of the story. Nobody gives a shit, you're done. And that's, you know, that one-sidedness is just really ignorant. There's just no way. And, you know, I listen to Jordan Peterson a lot. I think he's a really intelligent guy. And, you know, a lot of what he talks about is debate. And, you know, why aren't we talking about these things? And we need to have these discussions. And it's okay if you prove me wrong and I prove you wrong. That's the purpose, so that we learn something from each other. You know, we have far less debate now. I mean, look at the presidential thing. It was a joke. The most important, arguably the most important thing that was going on in our country at that time, and everybody is limited to like 2 or 3 minutes. Why wouldn't that thing, couldn't it have been like 5 hours long, or however long we needed to debate the topics at hand to really get a sense of what these candidates are, instead of everybody getting cut off by some fucking idiot moderator because of time from the stupid TV show? It's so stupid. That's the dumbest thing. I mean, I learned so much about Bernie Sanders and Tulsi Gabbard because they were on the Joe Rogan podcast for 3 hours. Each person individually got to speak about their points of view, their past, their history, what they want to do, their thoughts on everything, their plans for 3 fucking hours. Yeah, that now you really can get to know a candidate and see what this person's all about. Not 5 minute little blurbs or 1 minute little rebuttals that, you know, I mean, how much are you supposed to jam into 1 minute that's going to make any sense to anybody and even answer the question? It's just such a terrible, terrible format. And look at the idiots that we have now. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be negative about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, but what are they doing? I mean, we just saw a complete disaster when it comes to Afghanistan, and the whole withdrawal of our troops from that was done terribly. I don't care who you are. And I'm not saying Trump would have done it better. In my opinion, why wouldn't they have waited till the winter to do this? I mean, I was talking to my father about this, and he's like, you know, all these things should be done at times when people are least likely to revolt and do anything, which is when the weather's the shittiest. Nobody wants to go outside when it's freaking cold out and it's lousy and rainy. And I mean, I don't know if it snows in the desert. I would assume not. But, you know, they might have crappier seasons. Why wouldn't you wait till it's least optimal for the enemy? I mean, I just can't understand what they were thinking with this stuff. And these are the people that we elected. And yeah, they did a great job. I mean, I'm even hearing people on like CNN and the purely Democratic side of the media talking shit about these people now and how poorly this was executed and we're losing confidence and, you know, what are we supposed to think? The guy doesn't even care. I mean, you know, what do I know, right? I'm not in a position like that to understand what that kind of leadership position is like. And arguably, I'm not even a great leader myself, clearly from all of the discussions I've had about my failures in my own role in my own life as a leader. But I think we can all agree that this whole thing was kind of a shit show. We went over to a country for 20 years and did all these things and tried to enforce this and teach them that and enforce our ways on them, which was just, I don't know what moron thought that was a good idea. You cannot force something. I mean, you know, I'm not saying Sharia law is the right way to go, but democracy over there obviously was not the right way to go either. That didn't work at all. So there's got to be some balance. And, you know, the ironic thing is, I don't know what was going on there in the 70s, but I saw a video the other day that was showing like life in Afghanistan in the 70s, and it looked really nice. Like it was an old one. It wasn't like somebody did a reenactment. It was actual footage from that time in their history. And it seemed like things were pretty good for women, for everybody. So maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I just saw a video. What do I know? And I shouldn't really be talking about any of this stuff because I really don't know that much about it. But I really wish we could get back to debating and really having in-depth, good, long, hard conversations about things that really deserve it. You know, I mean, why are we not having debates anymore? Why are we not having discussions, meaningful discussions, long-winded discussions about topics that are super critical like this? Everything is about jamming it into a little excerpt or a snippet or a blurb. It's not about, let's listen to this person talk for the next 2 hours. And if you don't have the time, then fuck you, because that you need to spend the time doing this stuff and paying attention, or how are you going to form any kind of meaningful opinion on anything? If you don't have the facts, how do you come up with a conclusion that's got any validity at all? You just can't. You need to spend time. You need to, you know, listen and digest it and take it in and then form an opinion. And that doesn't happen from one sentence or two sentences. And that would go for Biden as well. Like, I'm not trying to judge that. I mean, the guy doesn't say very much. I don't know what the hell he's really thinking. Seems like he's just a puppet. But, you know, what is really on his mind? Is it good? Is it bad? Why are we not debating it? Why do we not have, like, open forums for the president and leaders of our country to have these kinds of real debates, and not on fucking Twitter, 240 or 140, whatever number of little characters you can blurb out. That is so stupid. Maybe these guys all do a podcast. Maybe I'll have to look that up and see if there's more debate, but there should be like a governmental open forum podcast where people can talk about this stuff all the time. And it should be front of the line of everything. If we're talking about running our country the right way and fixing problems, how do you fix any of these problems if we don't actually do anything about them? We don't discuss them. Who knows where the next great idea might come from? And it may well not be someone that's already in government. It could be from a regular citizen. But if we ignore those people and never listen to what anybody says, you know, for example, I'm not saying I have any answers, but nobody listens to the fucking thing that I say. But what if I had some brilliant idea? Nobody would hear it. Nobody would know about it. And we wouldn't be able to use it because nobody's listening. And I'm not saying people should listen to me, because what the hell do I know? I'm just saying that concept in general, or that construct, you know, where there's a way that we could have 24/7 nonstop debate about this type of stuff, where you could, it wouldn't just be Twitter and 6 million comments that you can't, no one can read any of. I mean, a post that has a few thousand comments is meaningless. You cannot read all the threads beneath it. And quite honestly, there should be some moderation to what that is. I don't know why these platforms suck so bad. Somebody really needs to not just redo Twitter and make another one so that it's free speech, but redo the engineering, redesign it. Because there should be a way where you can like vote things up and down and get topics of concern to millions of people, to where it's consolidated into, like, if 6 million people like a comment, I know that comment sits at the top, but it shouldn't just sit at the top. It should become something that's now required to be responded to in a way in which it can be read, and that the post itself should collapse on itself so you can actually read like the top 10 things that people have voted on to be the top 10 things they want answers to. Because all you're seeing in these threads are some people saying good things, some people just saying meaningless nonsense, but the things that are of high quality could get ranked up. right? And they would get, and then they could actually be responded to by the author of the post. And then you'd get real comments below it where those would then take precedence. So you'd see, it would almost be like a poll or like, you know, I mean, we kind of did something like this at Yahoo where there were so many people in the associate body that if you wanted to ask the nine executives a question, you had to go on to this platform that they built where it was basically a poll. People would enter questions. And then as questions got repeated, the ethic behind the whole thing was like, well, if you're going to ask the same question, you don't type it again. You just give a thumbs up to the one that's already there. And it would just keep rising in the ranks. And by the time Friday came along, when the executives would take a look at all this stuff, there would be like the top 10 that people voted up. And it worked really well. It was very effective at getting, you know, and sometimes you'd get things that were stupid, like, well, the food sucks here. Are we going to do anything about that? But, you know, a lot of people wanted to know that answer. So it got voted up. So it was a direct reflection of the general population of the company, and it worked. But more times than not, we got really difficult questions asked because a lot of people, especially in a working environment, are uncomfortable speaking their mind openly and didn't want to be the one to write the question that said, hey, why are you laying people off? Or, you know, why did you close down this property? Or, you know, whatever the sensitive kind of thing is. But yet you'd get like 1,000 upvotes because, yeah, everybody was interested in knowing, well, what's going on? Why are you laying people off? Or are we going to be laying people off? Or, you know, what's going on with remote work and work from home? What's going on with daycare? You know, all these things that were on people's mind, but they were afraid because of retaliation, even though that's against the law, it still happens. They were afraid that if they asked that they'd get in trouble or be marked or blackballed or whatever. So it was a really effective way of doing things, but I don't really see these platforms changing their platform to reflect something that works in that way. And it would be great. Can you imagine if you could, if our president and vice president had a singular Twitter account where you could ask legitimate questions that would be voted up by millions of people and then they would respond for real? It's like a real forum. I mean, what the hell? Can't we have that? I mean, that's not even like innovative. That's just old technology. That's not even an innovative strategy. It's just makes sense. Granted, we have, you know, there's hundreds of millions of people using these apps, so you have to have some way to kind of consolidate it all. But there's just too many voices out there now. I mean, and I would argue that I'm contributing to the noise. I mean, you know, am I saying anything valid here? I don't know. What do I know? You know, but I'm able to do this because there's a platform for me. Even though I don't have that many listeners or followers or whatever, you know, I'm not Joe Rogan, obviously, so nobody really gives a shit what I'm saying. But the point is, I have the ability to make noise too. And we have so much noise. You would think they would be building algorithms that could kind of sift through all this. We have more data than we know what to do with, at least in the public front, in the public facing aspect. There's just too much. You can't possibly get through it all. There's 8 million different sites you can go to for information. There's so many social media platforms. There's so many millions of people on those platforms. It's like, you know, it's just exponential numbers that how could you really keep abreast of anything because we aren't really managing it very well at all. And I'm not saying any one platform should be the lead platform, but all these platforms should have ways that they manage this stuff way better. And all they really do is just continue to feed you shit that they think you want because their objective has nothing to do with the greater good of people. It has to do with the greater good of keeping you on their website longer so that they can increase their ad revenue. So it's a flawed system. We need a system or a platform where that doesn't matter. And I'm sure that's not going to come about anytime soon because everything is driven by money. You know, I mean, shit, even I say that. It's like, well, geez, if I could just make money doing this, I could, you know, stop doing that. But then would I be influenced by potential people that want me to promote and pay me a sponsorship to say, hey, you know, I use this great product today. You should try it too. I mean, I already do that once at the beginning of every podcast for Anchor because I make like, I don't know, 0.1 cent every time somebody listens to that. You know, so I mean, even I, you know, crazy. Anyway, let's get to our poem of the day. We're at 49 minutes. So yeah, we're kicking it along here. This is a little bit all over the place, but anyway, poetic rhetoric, nonsensical blasphemy, by Garrett M. Conklin, available on Amazon.com. Anyway, this one's called Cream and Sugar. I love coffee, by the way. Oh, damn it. You know what? I just remembered. I made iced green tea the other day, and I totally forgot about it. So I guess I'll have to go check on it later. Note to self, check on the green tea. Okay, cream and sugar. Sip your coffee, take in the aroma, indulge the sugar, cream, and toffee to forget for a moment your own persona. I often like to reflect upon my life and what might be left, and all the ways that I reject, I play in treble, not in bass clef. Yeah, little music thing for you there. So herein lies the secret to all things that we know are unknown. They are far too frequent, so many things we have never been shown. So whether they exist or not is not really the confusion. It's all the things we never got or have even perhaps forgot, debunking life's illusion. We think we know what's right, though no one is even close. We babble on and drink all night, hoping it's the right dose. So call it what you will, chance, risk, betting, or a wager. This stuff is meant to kill. We are all in grave danger. It's never really worth it to drink it hot and fast, scalding your mouth every bit, a burn that will perpetually last. Sip your coffee slower and really take in the moment. Indulge the sweet, bitter clover and really get to know her and get past the lingering torment. I take two creams and two sugar to appeal to my own taste. I try not to be too vulgar or end my life in haste. Well, I mean, I kind of touched on some of that stuff today. And I guess I was relating that to coffee. So yeah, anyway, I had a fun time today. I had a lot going on today. This might be my longest podcast ever, 51 minutes. So, hey, thanks for listening. I appreciate all the follows, all the listens, all the comments, all the reach arounds, reach outs, all that fun stuff. Have a good Friday. Today's Pizza Friday for me, so I'm looking forward to pizza. Yeehaw, I love pizza. Don't indulge in too much out there, but have fun, live your life, do your thing, and I'll talk to you soon. Have a good weekend.